It's been an interesting situation with the Newells. Whenever we have prayed for everybody else, and yet things come to us. Yeah, you got something?
I just want to say thank you to everybody. Thank you. My mother thanks you, my father thanks you, and I thank you. And if you've ever thought, do my prayers work? Look at this guy right here. Yeah. So I can't thank you enough. You're all wonderful. So.
Not me? No. No. Nah. I'm good. I'm good. You can take a picture of me and Dave afterwards. How about that? We'll put that up. So, you know, a lot of people wonder, you know, like, why are you coming out? Why you stay home? You know, you had surgery. And Dave says, I want to come. I want to be in the house of the Lord. This is just who we are. We're not trying to do anything ridiculous. And, you know, he got a little wink this afternoon and said, you can stay. But nope, I want to go. I want to go. So he said, I'm sitting in the chair at home or I can sit here. So, you know, there's a strength in coming. How many have walked through any door? And for me, it's this door. Of course, it was in New Orleans many times, too. And I would just be dragging to church. Headache, backache. Kids are crawling all over me. Mama. Crazy stuff. And then I come through the door, and it just lifts. You know? Deborah Scheid, I was telling her about that one time. And in her New York accent, I wish God would do that for me. But then she started telling me, it's amazing. I can do anything when I get here, you know. And then God touches me. So we're just going to believe for Deborah to continue to receive all of her healing from all the chronic pain. Who suffers from chronic pain in here? Anybody? Yes, Paula. And who else? You do. Chronic pain. And so the Lord had been speaking about chronic pain. It's under his foot.
That's right.
Amen. So I just thank you, Lord Jesus. I just speak to chronic pain in these that are here and also for Deborah. And I say that you are defeated. They've already been bought. So, devil, take your hands off of them. I just speak directly to pain that it lifts up and off of your body. Amen.
Amen.
So, simple prayer, but it works, okay? You just keep saying it until what? You get the manifestation. And that's what we're doing, too. So, when the doctor was, you know, telling Dave, that I'm repeating myself because I said it on Sunday, but I'll just say it quickly. You know, the doctor said, well, the tumor's dying. And we're like, ah. He goes, oh. You know, like Nixon used to do, blah, 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 blah. No. You know? No, no. And so when he left the room, we're like, oh, yes, it is. You know, it's dying in Jesus' name. So then we were anxious to come home, so right before we got dismissed on Monday, Richard Hamilton came up and helped me get stuff in the car and all that. And we're waiting. I said, let me go do one more errand, and you stay here with Dave. And I got on the elevator, and the Holy Spirit says, oh, by the way, leave the tumor here at the hospital. And I have to do my New Orleans stuff, too. Leave the tumor. Leave the tumor. I've been making jokes about it because it is a joke that we're going to play on the enemy over and over. He did it for Dodie Osteen, totally diagnosed. Yeah, stage 4, was it liver cancer or pancreas? Liver cancer, you know. And so she'd already turned these terrible colors and all that. And then speaking of the goodness of the Lord, it's like Chris Mears. He has this liver disease. God is healing him. It's been a process with him. Virgil Mears. Told you about that one about 3 years ago, and he had gone through that stroke, and then the doctor calls Janie in and says, Virgil has stage 4 lung cancer. And she was so upset by it that she didn't even tell him. She told me. And about 7 days later, she told Virgil, okay. And so he says, well, the Lord's speaking to me right now. I'm not to take the fear. I'm not going to take it. So that's what we've been doing as well. We're not taking the fear of this. We know that our God is an awesome God. So that's why I want to talk about the blessings of the Lord tonight on Psalm 112, the blessed man. In this psalm, What are the conditions for blessing? The first one is the fear of the Lord. Let's read Psalm 112 and verse 1. Let me get this out because I wanted to say this. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. A lot of people don't understand the word fear, but when it's in the scripture, it's talking about the reverence of our God. Amen? And I want to read about what kind of psalm, what is this psalm of 112? A wisdom psalm, it provides instruction in right living and right faith in the tradition of the other wisdom writings of the Old Testament. The psalm begins with hallelujah and is part of a group of psalms, really Psalm 111 and 112, they go together, in which the word hallelujah occurs repeatedly at the beginning and the end. So we start praising him and saying, hallelujah, I fear the Lord, I rever the Lord, I am with you always, even until the ends of the earth, so I am not going to take the fear. Amen? Also, Psalm 112 puts a spotlight on humans, declaring that happiness is to be found in a life honoring the Lord and living according to God's commandments. Such lives will enjoy God's blessings. A lot of people don't enjoy the blessings of the Lord. They don't enjoy the lifestyle of living for Jesus because of what? You can sing it too, like tradition, 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 tradition. It's not just with the Jewish community, but it's in the tradition of religion and religiosity that gets a hold of people. It disappoints them. It upsets them. They can't live up to it. I have my cousin Ronnie. We've got Ronnie Graham here. I've got my cousin Ronnie in Laurel, Mississippi. Who's seen the hometown show? That's my hometown. And all we had, you know, you've heard and read about the power of the imagination with Andrew Womack. I said, oh, we had that years ago. We're like, the power of our imagination was to get out of that town and not come back. Anybody had raising in a small town? Small towns are wonderful. They can be awesome. But if it's full of abuse and crazy mess like we went through and with my dad and so forth, all you want to do is get out and get away and never go back. Well, we did go back, but in that little town, you know, somebody gets offended or, oh, forget that, I'm going to go over to this church and get fellow. Oh, forget that one, I'm going to go. And just over and over and over, people are not satisfied because they are into religion instead of really knowing that they can be blessed people and they can have fear and reverence for the Lord and live a delightful life. It says, such lives will enjoy God's blessings. Well, that's what we've done, my sister, my brother, and me, my mother. And eventually, way on down the road at 86, my dad joined us. You know, why did we have to go through this? Why did you have to go? Why? We don't know. You know, Debbie lived a horrific life at the hands of a wicked stepmother, you know, after her father died. And this one will have a story, and that one will, you know. Things and situations happen in life, but we got to be focused on that our God is going to bring us through and bring us out. And certainly he has, and certainly he will, because you have the fear and the reverence and admonition of the Lord. It says, it speaks of deep love and respect for the Lord. Let's read Philippians 2. 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It says, you know, if nobody's watching you, be who you're going to be in God. Don't be a lukewarm person. Either go and, you know, live like you're going to live or live for God. I'm always, I always call myself the black and white person here. I'm not over here. I'm over here. I'm never warm. I'm never in the middle. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to go and do mess. Don't do the mixture on it. All right, I was talking about my cousin Ronnie in Laurel, Mississippi, and about religion and religiosity. So my cousin Ronnie is such a country boy, I don't ever remember since I've been 12 that he was ever out of coveralls. And he still wears them. Remember, Matthew? Yeah. Even at Mimi's funeral, he says, "We don't wear suits around here." he's just always been the country boy. But Ronnie, I tried to reach him over and over because my cousin Ronnie and I, we were close. And because, you know, my mother and his mother were sisters. And telling him about serving God and all that, he said, "I've done all that, you know." They were in the Pentecostal church, and everything was a sin. And then you had to confess it over and over. And then you had to go back and repent. And then it was just crazy stuff, and it absolutely ruined him from enjoying a good, blessed life in the Lord. He's a wonderful man and does so many things for people, but he's never had the wonderful enjoyment of life that we're speaking of in Psalm 112, to be a blessed man. Number two, what are the benefits of keeping these conditions? I love this one. Psalm 112 and 2. "For his descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed." So I want all of my descendants to be blessed in the land. They are blessed. Yes. The fill-in, I'm going to get to that just once. Oh, the other one. Mm-hmm. Okay, "As a result, we delight greatly in his commandments." I'm sorry, I skipped over that. "As a result, we delight greatly in his commandments." Let's read Hebrews 8:10. I just went straight past it. "And why do we delight? Because we see they work in us and for us." All right, you got Hebrews, since I jumped ahead. Sorry about that. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And I love the word delight. We'll get back to that in just a second. And also, let's go to number two. We read that first one. Now let's read Psalm 25:12-14. "Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he chooses." The family of Jonathan Edwards, during five generations, had 500 descendants. I just love this. 120 were Yale graduates, 13 were college presidents, 100 were ministers and missionaries, 80 were politicians, 70 were military officers, and 30 were judges. Now I call that blessed. Because he was such a righteous man. And Dave told me that Jonathan Edwards started Princeton. Yep. Princeton was a seminary. Wasn't Yale too?
Started as a college.
Log Cabin College. That was Princeton, Log Cabin College. But what about Yale? Harvard? I think one or two of those were also seminaries, and they turned into colleges later. Well, there's benefits in your descendants, just like it was with Jonathan Edwards, how he served the Lord and his family was faithful. 500 descendants from his family. I think that's an awesome testimony of God's goodness. So I love that about the benefits. I wanted to say one thing about the delight. On Psalm 37, this psalm is a great prayer. This is not in your notes. This psalm is a great prayer to start each day. Pray that your desires match up with God's desires for you. God, may the very things that I desire be what you desire for me. Trust in the Lord. Take delight in him and commit to him. Those are powerful keys to a successful life. Well, I have truly lived by Psalm 37 about three major times. I have had it prophesied over me, said the prophet was speaking to us and said, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 5. You're going to delight yourself in the Lord. You're going to commit all your ways to him. All of your desires are going to become his desires. Now, we have our own natural desires, but then we have to filter it through the Lord and say, I want the desires that you have for my life to be filtered down to me. And then they come together, and it's a beautiful Holy Spirit combination. So I've had many other things that I wanted to do in life, and the Lord kept tugging at my heart and tugging at my sister's heart. And so we ended up marrying ministers and putting aside a lot of things and a lot of desires that we wanted in the natural. But truly, the Lord called us at a real early age to serve him. And I've never regretted it. And I've never regretted all the wonderful blessings that he's given us. Okay, read Psalm 112 and verse 3. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Wealth, is your fill-in, is not just financial, but understanding, friends, health, etc. And here are some keys. Well, I want to talk about, you know, our health is wealth. And we always, when we take communion, we say, health and wealth are ours. And I don't know about y'all. I think I know about you, but we don't have to be poor to serve God. But we were raised up in that. And then when I married Dave, then we were in this ministry there. We were not the senior pastors. We were just staff pastors with about five other. And I'll tell you, we lived a very, very poor life because our senior pastor believed in keeping everybody on staff very humble while they drove around in big old cars. And remember those first cell phones, and had the big old wire on the back of the, you know, the big old wire antenna kind of floating on the back of your car, and all of his kids had that in their cars and all that, and my boys would see that, and of course not just me, but everybody else that was on the ministry. It was not the way to treat people that had given their lives to the Lord. And this is why Dave and I said, Lord, if you ever give us the opportunity to go and pastor on our own, we want to bless people. We want to live the life before them. We want to be close to them. We want to be the family of God. We want them to prosper as well. Now, I'm talking to somebody about wealth. And to, I'll tell you about that later. It's still kind of working that way. About someone that's going to be praying with us to release financial blessing over everyone. Yeah, we've had release of financial blessing. Why don't we get more? Okay? So that you can pay off all debts, pay off your house, pay off your car, and live debt-free. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. A lot of people, and we were in ministry like that, you know, if you're talking about wealth and all that, that's not seeking the Lord. You got to be humble before your God. Yet we saw a terrible example by our senior leaders that were living it up and going to Hawaii. And, you know, I was going to the grocery store and I had it all figured out, just like the other ladies did on staff. You know, you'd buy like something with $5, a block of cheese, a box of instant potatoes, half a pound of ground beef, and a little jar of gravy. And that was a meal, you know, over and over. We just had to do what we had to do. But, you know, in all of that, we hung on to the promises of the Lord. And now we thank you, Lord, for the prosperity that we have. And I want to focus again on health. Our health is so precious in every sense of the word. Thank the Lord for health. Take communion for your health. Rejoice with others that they have health in their bodies. But you can be healthy in your mind. You can be healthy in the natural, in your body. And you want to be healthy in your emotions. Amen? All right, let's read Proverbs 10 and verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Well, I've always been super busy. And, you know, Dave even got in on calling it the Johnson spirit, you know, always doing something, always trying to make a dollar, always trying to bake pecan pies and sell them in New Orleans, anything to do to get ahead. But, you know, I rejoiced in it because it would make money for our family. But, you know, the blessings of the Lord, they make rich, and there's no sorrow with it. And that's what it should be in all churches today. I feel like many of them are like that. Many of them are not. All right, Proverbs 30, Proverbs 30, 8 through 9. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Well, that means there's got to be a balance in everything. You got to balance it out. You can't just live off of your riches and say, okay, I'm good now. I don't need God. I'm doing great. Lord, you got me to this spot. Now, I'm not needing you quite as much as you did. I remember that story you said about that man that he was selling. This is back in the 80s, and all the satellite TV things were coming out. And, oh, Brother Dave, I've just got to make more. I've got this little business, and okay, we're gonna pray over your business and pray the prosperity. 2 weeks later, oh, Brother Dave, I've got so much business. It's just wonderful. Well, okay, brother, I'll see you on Sunday. Didn't see him that Sunday. Didn't see him the following Sunday. Didn't see him the following. After about 5 weeks, Dave says, hey, buddy, what's up? Hadn't seen you in church. I am so busy. I'm working on Sundays. And all he said, no, that's not the way we prayed. We prayed prosperity on you, but just take the Lord's day, give that to him, and he'll make it up to you. Hey, y'all, look what Chick-fil-A did. They're always closed on Sunday. And they've lived an absolute wonderful Christian life, even through all of the crazy mess with them doing their, you know, how people would come there and have their rallies and come against them. They just said, no, we're not gonna go for this. We know that God comes first, and we just thank you, Father, that we're going to prosper. Amen? Anybody got a comment about that? Is it really? I didn't know it was the top. What? I didn't know it was number one. Said Chick-fil-A is number one in the country and in fast food, you know. And as we say, it's probably organic. Organic. We used to. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And they just stood for righteousness in a quiet way. And then people would still come and riot. They just let them riot, move on with their business. So, yeah, so it's really organic food, too. All right, read Psalm 112 and verse 4. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Well, we are the upright, and even in a dark world, we're going to shine. We're going to be bright. In your neighborhood, at school, at work, we're always going to have the challenges of people. I've told you about our challenges quite often with neighbors. So Dave's been asking me lately, did you, no, let's don't talk about it, did you? Dave, I did it again. So I was out by my garbage cans, I turned around, I forgive you. All right, Lord, I went on record. All right. Weeks after that, I went out, and I'm like, Lord, I forgive her. Weeks went by. And then finally, I can say it with feeling, Lord, I forgive her. You know, she doesn't even know who she is. If she did, she probably wouldn't do it. But people don't know who they are in this crazy world. And even though things come against us, we have to be the light rising in the darkness. So there is light that you fill in rising in darkness. That's us. Everybody's watching. Everybody's watching your life. Your relatives. Oh, Lord, did I hit a sore subject or what? I got the Spirit of God on me now. Our relatives watch us so much, even more than the neighbors. Our coworkers. Oh, well, look at this. Oh, you suddenly lost your temper. And then what were they doing? Prodding you until you're so overtaken, you know. It's difficult. I've been there. You know, 30 years I worked dental hygiene plus ministry, raising kids, doing youth, Saturday soul saving. It was a crazy mess. Too much, you know, because we didn't even enjoy life. But God brought us here. Hallelujah. So there is light rising in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So, you know, we're not in despair, people. We have to look to the Father. We have to look to one another. That's why we got the family of God. The family of God will lift us. The family of God will be for us, you know, share and prayer and, you know, communication. Someone is always here for you here. And I know who you are and how you react to other people, because you've got such God's love in your heart. And, you know, I wanted to talk about this. What does refuge mean biblically? And this means, I'm referring to that light in the darkness. You know, we run to the Lord for a refuge, and it's a shelter or a protection from danger, but especially from distress. We get so distressed on the job, people, relatives, whatever's going on, finances, the pressures of this world. What is a prayer for refuge in the Lord? Today, Lord, be my rock and refuge in this world where calamities happen every moment before my eyes. Because you are here with me and you are my almighty God, I am not afraid of the dangers around me, but rather I am strengthened by your love. We got to look at the strength that we have from the love of the Father. You are my God who leads me and you bless me. And I'm going to thank you, and I'm going to praise you. Well, calamities. Yeah, we've been through a few calamities in the Newell's household, but we have kept our focus on God. We've kept our focus on the Lord. The Lord would often say to me, don't look at circumstances. Look at me. Look at me. And I'll look up, you know, to the Lord, who is my strength. So Dave was looking up. We're looking at circumstance. We're looking to him, our Almighty Father, that he is our refuge and our strength when calamities happen. So my sister Janie and I were talking, and she says, I wanted to remind you of this, Ina. We were talking last week, and she said, remember when Virgil had his stroke? And I was like, God, what's going on? I mean, I remember when she called me. It was in the middle of the night, and all this horrific stuff was going on with Virgil, and then she'd called and said he'd had this major stroke. So she said, we had this evangelist come about a year and a half ago to our church, and she said, I just asked him, you know, I've been serving God. I know the scripture. I know things, but why? What happened? You know, we're serving God. Yeah, we're not, you know, exempt from these things, these calamities in life. And he prayed with her just for a little while, and he said, okay, here's what the Lord said. An arrow got through from the enemy. He said, you've done nothing wrong. And, you know, arrows come, yeah. And we're dodging darts, you know, people throwing darts in your back to attack you and so forth. But that's what she said. She says, Ina, I'm just saying that about you and Dave. An arrow might have gotten through. I'm not going to focus on that, so I'm not making a big issue out of that. But, you know, these things, these calamities happen in life. We don't have control of those. Yet, our God, we are going to be the blessed man and the blessed woman in life. Amen? Okay, moving on. Read 1:12 and verse 5. There is a willingness and desire to bring others into blessing and life. That's been our life source. Is this what we've done all of our lives? And I know you have too. As we receive from God's grace and favor, we can give it away. Now, I've asked Veronica to share just a little bit about what the desire means to her. Oh, there is a willingness and desire to bring others into blessing and life. Got a little comment for me?
Sure. You know, I believe that the Lord places our desires within us. And because we have his spirit, that his desire within us comes forward. And so in this scripture, it says there's a willingness there and a desire to bring others into blessing and life. And so good will come to those who have God's desire. This scripture is saying that there's a generosity for us to be able to give freely, and that we will never be shaken when we give freely. This scripture reminds me of when I was a little girl. My mother was a single mother of three girls, and we only had a little bit of money to have food for ourselves, just one meal. And another single mother with two younger kids came to our house, and my mother, instead of buying us a meal, she gave all of the money to that single mother. And I stood there thinking, what in the world have you just done? But don't you know, just like our faithful God, someone came over to our house right after that single mother left and brought us 5 full grocery bags of food that could feed us for over a week. And so if we look at this scripture, there's a willingness and a desire there. God puts that desire there for us to give freely of ourselves. And when we do that, in turn, God tells us that we will not be shaken because we are the righteous. We've never seen the righteous go begging for bread. God blesses the righteous.
Got a good comment about desire. You know, you might have had worldly desires. Now you've got godly desires. God can just turn little small desires that you might have had into his desires, and they can be a blessing not only to you but to others. Okay, just raise your hand if you have something. I'm going to read the definition of desire. A strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. Well, we don't wish. We know. We have the blessing. A desire to work. You know, like you're going to work with the dirt in your bare hands and so forth. Or you desire to go to the beach. We've been thinking about the beach in our imagination. We're going to the beach. And we're going to relax and know that God is in control. And our desire for wanting to have something and for something to happen. But it's our desires, Lord Jesus, that you give us the grace and favor in, and then we get to give it away. All right, let's read Psalm 112, 6 through 8. God is with us despite of our conditions. The righteous are not moved by events. Psalm 111 and verse 10. Oh, that's 112. Oh, sorry, 6 through 8. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. God does not forget. You don't have to remind God, hey, God, you forgot me. I'm here. I mean, they're getting the blessing. What about me, God? Remember Joyce Meyer? What about me, God? All of that wonderful sermon years and years ago. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. At some point in your Christian walk, and you tell your kids this, you tell relatives or people that are struggling, at some point in your life, you're going to make the decision, either I'm going to trust him or I'm not. You have to let go and trust the Lord. In so many areas of your life, sometimes you have to speak it until it becomes that desire. Sometimes you have to speak it despite of the conditions that are around us. Psalm 111 and verse 10, do you have that one? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. And 27, 3 through 6, if you have, yeah. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That means you're settled. You're settled where you are. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of the tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And, you know, the rock just speaks, it's solid ground. I can put my weight down on it, and I know that my God is in charge. So despite is the definition for that is like without being affected by, in spite of. So we're not affected by the things around us or the conditions because the righteous are not moved by events. We must know that Jesus is our supreme commander. And indeed, all of us know that. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the age. Amen, amen. So this old world, it keeps reeling, rolling, and rocking. And what are we going to do? We're going to keep on, because the righteous are going to shine. As the world gets worse, the righteous are going to shine even brighter. You got to keep your focus on that. You got to keep your eyes upon the Lord. Amen? All right, read Psalm 112 and 9. God knows how to promote the righteous person in Christ. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. For exaltation comes neither from the east nor the west nor from the south. But God is the judge, and he puts down one and exalts another. So on the promotion thing, when I pray with people, and if they're looking for papers, they're looking for something that's been lost in cyberspace, or valuable objects, or, you know, they're needing an answer for something, and I'll say, Lord, you put them into the throne room with you, and I'll see people as they sit down on an office chair with wheels, and I'll just say, Father, roll them into the throne room, and there, the strategy plan you're going to give them, and then they will understand and know what they're going to do. And also with people with jobs, I'm always telling, top of the heap, whatever, look, papers can be piled up this much, and there your paper is at the top of the heap. So think of that, meditate, muddle on that. You are at the top of the heap in everything. Got some issues, got some calamities going on, got to stay focused, got to know that your God has you at the top of the heap. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right, anybody got a comment on that? All right, let's read Daniel. Anybody? Yes, sure. Coming to you.
Just reading from the notes in my Bible. There's a half page that was blank under the end of Matthew 28. And you know, we just read 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and go therefore. Okay, down here I have P. Dave. I wonder who that was. Our authority trumps Satan's power. Our authority, and because all authority has been given in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, and then there was also a reference here to where Jesus took the keys of heaven, of hell and death, and has given us that authority. That was, I think, part of where that statement came from. But his words were, "Our authority trumps Satan's power."
Don't be shy now. All right, did we read Daniel 2:48? Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. And then chapter 5. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, wait a minute. There's a lot of stuff that happened in between there, folks. I mean, what did he do? He says, I'm going to serve God regardless. What did he do? Took the two windows, opened them up. Maybe they didn't have windows. Maybe they had a little stone somewhere or other. And he was not quiet. He was not silent. He began to praise his God. And then what happened? Yeah, somebody under the king, you know. He was honored by the king, but somebody caused the trouble, and he's thrown in the lion's den and so forth. Amazing how he stood for righteousness, and the Lord just came through despite of the circumstance and all the calamities. for such an awesome, awesome way that we, I love the book of Daniel. All right, read 1:12 and verse 10. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Pretty heavy. All right, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm like Marilyn Hickey with that verse. Let's just say yuck three times. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, and needs, persecutions, distresses, for all for Christ's sake. But, you know, that's the natural. But if it's done for Jesus, then that's when it becomes easy. If we're persecuted for the righteous way of the Lord Jesus. This is true strength. Our enemies may want us to fail, but in Christ we will win. Hallelujah. Now I want to read Psalm 112 in the Passion. I just love this, the way it read in the Passion Bible. And it states the triumph of faith. Shout in celebration and praise to the Lord. Everyone who loves the Lord and delights in him will cherish his words and be blessed beyond expectation. Their descendants will be prosperous and influential. We talked about that with Jonathan Edwards. Every generation of the righteous will experience his favor. Now we have to cover. We've got our own assignment. I got my assignment, you got yours. We all have these assignments in life, and especially with our children, huh? But it includes relatives, it includes everyone, because we want every generation to serve the Lord. Great blessings and wealth fill the house of the wise, for their integrity endures forever. Even if darkness overtakes them, sunrise brilliance will come bursting through, because they are gracious to others, so tender and true. Life is good for the one who is generous and charitable, conducting affairs with honesty and truth. Their circumstances will never shake them, and others will never forget their example. They will not live in fear or dread of what may come, for their hearts are firm, ever secure in their faith. Steady and strong, they will not be afraid, but will calmly face every foe until they all go down in defeat. Never stingy and always generous to those in need, they live lives of influence and honor that would never be forgotten, for they were full of good deeds. But the wicked take one look at a life lived like this, and they grit their teeth in anger, not understanding their bliss. The wicked slink away speechless in the darkness that falls, where hope dies and all of their dreams fade away to nothing, nothing at all. But we're going to focus on praising the Lord. Steady and strong, and we're not going to be afraid in life. We're not going to be afraid of circumstance. We're going to have desires despite what goes on. We're all human. We get shook up. We get rattled a little bit, huh? With all the circumstance, with all the situations in life. But Lord, I thank you that we're going to stand strong in you. We know, Father, that as we serve you even to the ends of the earth and serve you until this old world stops spinning and we're all enjoying an eternity in heaven, I say, Lord, that our lives count and we're going to bless people regardless of how they treat us, regardless of the situation. You know, we may have the attitude for a moment, but only for a moment, and then we're going to say, it's not worth it. I forgive. I release people. I want to have the blessed life. I want my generation to serve the Lord. I want my kids to serve the Lord. And we call out to you, Father, for families. Enemies trying to destroy the family, the very fiber of the family is being destroyed at the roots. Yet our God, and there's a scripture that says, but God came in on the scene. And I thank you again for Psalm 112, that we are the blessed woman and man of God. We are blessed in our going in and our coming out. We're blessed as we push the basket in the store. And as we put it in our storehouse and our pantry at home, we're going to tell our kids this. We're going to say, this came from the Lord. Here's the blessings that came. My mother poured this into all of us at a young age. And I saw, Lord, her faithfulness, even when she had little. It was much in your eyes. I think of the widow of Zarephath. You know, the widow of Zarephath represents the single woman in the Bible and how God sustained her, whether you're single in life or you're single and divorced. God will sustain you. He will bless you in every way, and every pathway will be made straight in Jesus' precious name. Well, I thank you for letting me share tonight. And I just say that we are going to have the health and the wealth. We're not going to give in to fear. We're going to delight ourselves despite of circumstance, any calamity that comes to us. We're going to use the scripture and the word of the Lord to fight the battle and win. Amen. All right, well, everybody come up. We're going to have some good prayer.